Welcome to the Unconquered Podcast.
Lethal simplicity. Yeah, I like to score fast. It's hard not to be a Noles fan. Get Florida State back. I want a damn good defense. We're still undefeated. Blame no one. Make no excuses. Do something.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Unconquered Podcast. Once again, I'm your host, Jason Staples. Before we get started, just a reminder, you can, as always, find me on Twitter at Doc Staples. Also, don't forget you can subscribe to this podcast through iTunes, your podcast manager of choice, Apple Podcasts, Google Play. If you have a preferred podcast manager aside from SoundCloud, which is something I'm presently not on, anything other than that, I should be available. This podcast should be available. But let me know if there's another avenue that you prefer to listen to your podcast through, and I'll do what I can to get on that as well. You can also listen to this podcast on Seminole Sports Radio from vSporto and use the vSporto Seminole Sports Radio app available through iTunes, the Android marketplace. And once again, a reminder that this is the Christmas season, or actually, technically, it is Advent at the moment. It is the Advent season. And before the Advent of Christmas, let's go ahead and if you have not rated this podcast on iTunes, that one in particular, but also through whatever else you prefer to listen to your podcast, please do so. Five-star ratings really help. And if you're enjoying the show, again, tell a friend, like the Facebook page as well, those five-star reviews, like I said, help a tremendous amount. But also, before we get to the rest of the show, also want to thank once again the show's sponsor, Luis Marquez from Keller Williams Realty in Jacksonville, a trained photographer and videographer, which, as always, is especially important now that about 90% of homebuyers search online first. So if you want to have the best possible photos and smooth professional walkthrough video, if you're in the Jacksonville area and considering listing any sort of real estate property, give Lewis a call. Or if you're in the market to buy a house in that area, give Lewis a call. Let him know you heard about him from the Unconquered Podcast. And he'll include a free warranty on the home that covers repairs and replacements of the essential home systems, like heating, ductwork, plumbing, electrical, what a read is that, and water heaters during the listing period. So let him know that you heard about him from this podcast. Definitely, again, help us out quite a bit. All right, let's go ahead and get to the show itself. I'm going to be talking about basically just some updates in advance of the early signing period, and then a few question and answer bits at the end of the show. First things first, though, Jim Leavitt, who was anticipated to become the next defensive coordinator at Florida State under Coach Willie Taggart, that it was expected that he would follow Taggart to Florida State from Oregon. Another former USF head coach and one of the better defensive coordinators in the country, somebody who has specialized in turning around defenses rapidly, ends up just signing a $1.7 million per year, multi-year contract with decent outs in case he gets a head coaching job. And also, from what I was told behind the scenes, he also got assurances from Phil Knight that Knight will go to bat for him when it comes to head coaching searches in the next cycle. So Oregon pulled out the stops to basically outbid Florida State for Leavitt. Florida State was not willing to pay that much for Jim Leavitt. And, you know, I think that probably winds up being a good decision. Although at this point, the question really is who Willie Taggart is going to hire at defensive coordinator. That, of course, is the biggest question that I've gotten from listeners who have been contacting me via social media and other avenues. Yeah, that's an open question. But there are some really good options still on the board for Taggart. I will say, just prefacing all of this, that I don't expect the defensive coordinator hire to come right away. With the close of the early signing period at the end of this week, and the rest of the month of December being bowl preparation and also a dead period where in-person contact is not going to be happening, it's really not that important to get the defensive coordinator hire done quickly. What matters is getting it done correctly. And again, everything I've been told has been very, very encouraging in terms of the kinds of names that have gotten to me about who Willie Taggart is considering at this point, and who he's contacting, and who he's actually thinking about. And I think there also is there's a pattern in terms of the coaches that Taggart has contacted and is interested in potentially running his defense. And one of the things that's interesting about that is that pattern is that those coordinators run defenses pretty similar to what Florida State has run over the last few years in terms of scheme and in terms of approach and all that. But they have reputations as excellent teachers and also, generally speaking, good recruiters. So what that means is whoever he hires, I expect to be a primarily odd front coach. So 3-4 if you're in larger personnel, but a lot of 3-3, 3-3-5, and some flexibility down into the 4-2-5 type stuff with one of those linebackers being essentially a rush end. But that kind of flexibility, that kind of flexible defensive approach, and very aggressive coordinators seems to be what he's targeting. So that is going to plug in well with Florida State's personnel, and I'm pretty encouraged based on the names that I've heard that he's targeting, that they're going to be able to get a very good one. Now, a couple of the names that are worth mentioning the first one that was on the list after Leavitt was Mike Elko from Notre Dame, very high on Taggart's list, but Elko has only been at Notre Dame 1 year and he isn't leaving Notre Dame. So Elko is pretty much, as far as I understand, out of the running. Interesting thing is that I'd mentioned previously that Jim Mora Jr. was in the mix. And from what I understand, Jim Mora Jr. wanted the job. But ultimately, he wanted the job more than Taggart wanted to give him the job, especially with the way that things ended at UCLA. In part, that's not good, real good optics, that UCLA was not very good defensively the last couple of years. And basically, Taggart has gone after other options. Now, when you're able to turn down, essentially, a former NFL head coach for the position, you feel pretty good about getting other better options. A couple other names that have gotten to me on the list: Bob Diaco, the former Notre Dame coordinator who was at Nebraska last year, he's not going to be on the staff next year under Scott Frost. I think Diaco is actually, there's a real possibility that it winds up being Diaco if certain things go certain ways, but I don't think Diaco is the first choice in terms of hires. But again, his hire wouldn't surprise me. He's definitely up on the list, from what I'm told. Another that is definitely on the list is Travaris Robinson, a young and very good recruiter, defensive coordinator under Will Muschamp at South Carolina. Also would probably be a very good hire, although again, he's only really worked under Muschamp, and there's some question as to how much that defense is his, but it is about time for him to spread his wings and be his own coordinator there, and that would be another, I think, good hire. And then there's one other big name who would be an absolute splash that, and I hate it when other people do this, but I have to. I can't mention the name of this person because of the situation, but suffice it to say that this would be a huge splash hire, I don't think anybody would have any complaints about that other person who is on the list. In any case, what is clear here is that Taggart is really seeking to make a splash with the coordinator that he hires. He wants this to be someone who can be there for a couple to a few years, but someone who's going to immediately be a splash hire and bring some juice to the recruiting trail and bring some buzz to the program just because of who he hires here. He doesn't want to just hire anyone that he can hire. He wants this to be a well-recognized coordinator who he believes can step right in and run the defense at the highest level possible. Now, there are other names that have been put out there by some other people that I've seen on this that I have not heard from good sources as actually having had contact with Willie Taggart. So some names that are out there that, again, I've gotten no good intel that Taggart has actually contacted them or has interest. That would include Scott Schaefer, the former Syracuse head coach, who is who's now where is he? He's now at Middle Tennessee. Vic Fangio, the Chicago Bears defensive coordinator. Alton, I've heard nothing of any contact there. I've not been told of any meaningful contact between Taggart and Alex Grinch, who is a popular point of discussion here, nor Tony Pecoraro, which actually at this point I wouldn't necessarily expect them to be talking to each other because they're preparing for each other in the bowl game. So that doesn't mean that Pecoraro wouldn't potentially become a candidate. But again, I've heard nothing about his about there being any interest or contact there either. Nor have I heard of any contact with Jim Leonhard, or Leonard, I think is how he says that. But I've heard no evidence of any contact from a good source or interest from a good source about him, or a couple, you know, long shot names that were sent to me as a part of questions. Ken Norton Jr., Mike McDonald. None of these names are among those that I've heard are actually high up on the list at this point or are in any sort of discussion with Taggart. Though of those, you know, again, you can't rule out a guy like Grinch or Pecoraro, depending on how all this goes with some of the other ones on the list. But just keep in mind that those out there, that most of the names that you're going to hear out there are people spitballing based on Taggart's past. So if somebody has coached with Taggart in the past, or if Taggart has coached against this person and has a good amount of respect for this person, that's where you're getting a lot of this. And so a lot of those names that have been pitched around haven't actually been contacted by Taggart, but might be in the future. So that's where that stands. Like I said, of the names, I've heard three names so far that are on the list, that there seems to have been some contact with, which would be, again, Bob Diaco, Travaris Robinson from South Carolina, and then the another big named coordinator who they have, from what I understand, a real chance of getting, but I can't say anything. So yeah, well, I'll just go ahead and leave that at that. Among other things, Taggart has filled the other two vacancies on the staff that were left by Jay Graham's departure and the departure of quarterbacks coach and offensive coordinator Randy Sanders, who is now going to be a head coach at the FCS level. So congratulations for him. I do find it interesting that as bad as Florida State's staff was supposed to be, a lot of these coaches that no one else would be interested in have actually found pretty good landing spots, as it turns out. But in any case, I was not, of course, in any sort of disagreement that it was time to move on from the staff as constructed. Sometimes a staff can be less than the sum of its parts, and I think Florida State had gotten to that point by the time the 2017 season hit about mid-season. That was clearly the case. But in any case, he has filled those two spots with Dante Pimpleton, or Coach Pimp, as he's typically called, who has coached with Taggart at several other stops, was a teammate of Taggart's at Middle Tennessee State. So there's a long history there. But Pimpleton is going to replace Jay Graham as the running backs coach. Pimpleton is a stud recruiter. I'm telling you right now, stud recruiter. He's going to be one of those guys who's active on Twitter as well. So those of you who really embraced Tim Brewster because of his Twitter presence, and the fact that, you know, he actually was out there for some people to interact with a little bit. Coach Pimp is going to be one of those guys, and there's going to be more than just him. Even Taggart himself, you know, this is a new era in that regard. There's going to be a little bit more interaction across the board from those guys. But Pimpleton is a very good coach, someone who actually has had a pretty wide breadth of experience. He's coached more than just the running backs coach or running backs position, and he has He's actually called plays. He's been a coordinator previously, not at the FBS level, but again, he's got some coordinator experience. He's a very good coach and a star recruiter. So this is a great addition. He was one of the guys, as you recall, that when I was talking early on about Taggart most likely being the hire for Florida State, I'd mentioned that he would bring along Dante Pimpleton and also the second coach who, as it turns out, as I was preparing to record this episode, it appears that it's finally done, that things are getting finalized, that Raymond Woody, the other coach that I mentioned, was almost certainly going to join was going to follow Taggart to Florida State. Raymond Woody is also coming down. He's going to be on the defensive staff. Now, Woody can coach, again, multiple positions, and he's also a very good special teams coordinator, which is important given how Florida State special teams have been at different points. But he was Oregon special teams coordinator and can handle a lot of that. But he coached outside linebackers, sort of slash defensive ends, the edge guys for Oregon. But that was partly because Jim Leavitt was coaching inside linebackers. Woody can coach any linebacker position. He can coach the edge, but most likely he's going to wind up coaching somewhere in the middle part of that defense, whether it be the actual inside linebackers, linebackers coach, or the edge coach. He's probably going to be one of those two coaches, depending on, again, who they hire for the defensive coordinator spot and who they fill out the rest of that staff with. I don't expect that we're going to see another defensive hire until after the new year. I think we're going to again see the defensive coordinator hired sometime in early-ish January, depending on, again, whether they get who they're targeting right now. That could be a little bit earlier in January or a little bit later in January. But sometime in the first couple weeks of January, you'll see that hire happen, and then you'll see the rest of that staff get filled out on the defensive side, including the 10th coach, the new addition to the staff. But those two coaches have both been brought on. Woody, like I said, has coached multiple positions on defense, has good experience as a special teams coordinator, and it is, again, just like Pimpleton, he is a stud on the recruiting trail. This is someone who, again, he's from that Palmetto area of Florida, another major Florida recruiter. Pimpleton, also from Florida, can connect in that South Florida region, in that Central Florida region. These guys are connected. They are trusted on the recruiting trail among the high school coaches and parents in Florida. And I'm telling you, Florida State has just hired two really, really good coaches, running backs coach and a defensive coach for that linebacker or edge position, who are really, really good recruiters. And that, again, this staff, one thing that's clear, I think, at this point, is Taggart's staff is going to be able to recruit position by position. Each coach that has been brought on so far is a stud recruiter. And Telly Lockett, I can't remember if the last episode Lockett had actually been hired, or if I had just said he would be hired at that point. But Telly Lockett also brought on to replace Tim Brewster at the tight end position, another stud recruiter, another guy where you know, again, you're not going to get a better South Florida recruiter on the staff than Telly Lockett. So this staff so far, the three assistants that he's got, they've got three stud recruiters already. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a couple minutes, because I got one of the questions that I want to answer addresses that, and I'll bring some of this back into play in a moment. But before we get to some of the question and answer, I also want to address the next event on the agenda, which is tomorrow begins the first ever early signing period for college football, and what a mess it is. This is a really terrible time to have an early signing period. It should be in early August, say, or just before August, to make it a true early signing period, and maybe put a waiver in there that if these couple assistant coaches, or if this head coach leaves, then I'm no longer bound by the letter. But basically find a way to do that instead of doing it now, when teams are doing bowl preparation, when some players are still playing for state championships and all this other, what a mess. But I mean, Some of us were saying at the when this was first approved that, yeah, early signing period's a great idea, but this timing is terrible, and it is turning out to be just as bad as what we expected it to be. But in any case, Florida State has three guys that are expected to be early signees. Amari Gaynor, certainly going to sign with Florida State. He's been the bell cow slash recruiting coordinator of Florida State's recruiting class. Christian Armstrong, offensive lineman from Georgia. And then Rosendo Lewis, the linebacker from South Florida. There's some rumblings that that Rosendo Lewis may flip to South Carolina. But again, I think at the end of the day, he probably winds up sticking with Florida State. But that's one to potentially keep an eye on. If there is going to be a surprise there, it would be that Lewis would potentially flip to South Carolina in the early signing period and sign with them. But like I said, I think Florida State is expecting to get all three of those guys at this point. Other possibilities include four of the visitors that showed up in this last recruiting weekend, which was a barn burner of a weekend that showed just how high Willie Taggart's ceiling as a recruiter is going to be at Florida State, where he got, 13 four- or five-star players on campus in that final recruiting weekend before the early signing period. Including several guys that Florida State hadn't been in on previously. And you're talking about squeezing in and getting those guys to visit in a week. How impressive is that? Wow. You're looking at Florida State having potentially an Urban Meyer level recruiter at Florida State, but somebody who has built trust in addition to just being really good at the convincing side of things, but somebody who has the trust of a lot of people in Florida and has those deep roots in Florida, which Meyer never did. So you're looking at that kind of recruiter. I mentioned this, on prior podcast or one or two podcasts ago, that one of the reasons that I was very concerned about Florida State losing Jimbo Fisher at some point is that I was not sure that they'd be able to replace him with someone who Fisher's one of the best recruiters in the country. Were they going to be able to replace him with someone who could keep the talent at that level? And then Fisher's also a top level coach. Could they be able to replace him with somebody that would be able to be at that level? As a recruiter, Florida State, I think, upgraded, which is crazy. That's crazy. Fisher was not quite as good a recruiter, say, as Urban Meyer. He's on pretty close to the same level, really close. But Taggart might be above that when it comes to the state of Florida. And when you're looking at the staff that Florida State's putting together in the state of Florida, that's going to be a buzzsaw recruiter in the state of Florida. Wow. Now, in-game coaching remains a question. But again, we all know that Fisher had some weaknesses there as well. So I'm going to keep an open mind there. But early signs are encouraging. Anyway, I digress. Other possibilities for that early signing period are James Cook, who got back on campus this last week and is back in the mix as potentially flipping back from the University of Georgia, where he's been committed since he flipped from Florida State. In that early signing period, he will sign early and plans to early enroll. He could go either way. Now, honestly, if I'm handicapping this, I still ultimately expect Cook to end up at Georgia. But I don't think that this is a done deal. I don't think that this is a situation where Georgia is certainly the choice. I think this is one where Florida State has a puncher's chance that Cook decides, you know what, I want to play for Taggart and Telly Lockett and Coach Pimpleton. Those guys were all recruiting him at Oregon. Real possibility. Now, I did see that someone mentioned that Florida State would only have room for one of James Cook or Jashawn Corbin, the running back who's also teammate with Antoine Green, the wide receiver down on the Atlantic side of Florida. I'm trying to remember their high school, but it's not coming to me at the moment. That's not actually the case from the board that I saw. I actually think Florida State will have room potentially for both of those guys and would take both of those guys. Because you have to keep in mind, on Florida State's board, Corbin is not listed just as a running back. They regard him as an athlete that they can plug in potentially at wide receiver. They can use him at running back. He's a guy that they think of as very flexible in that regard. I think, and again, they're going to have room to take 24, 25 guys in this class at the end of the day. And I think they're going to end up having room for both guys if they want in. So I don't think that's a question Florida State making the choice here. But in any case, I still think Cook probably winds up at Georgia. I don't expect him to sign to Florida State, but there's a puncher's chance. Another player that there is a real chance for is Emory Jones, the quarterback from Georgia, who has been committed to Ohio State for quite a while now, but has kind of soured on Ohio State, particularly because Ohio State took a second quarterback, partly because he was looking around. So it's a little one of those, it's not me, it's you situations on both sides. But he visited both Florida and Florida State in the last week. Florida State getting him for the last visit on campus over the weekend, coming straight from Gainesville. Again, this is now, first of all, I really like Emory Jones as a prospect. I like him more than most people like him. I've liked him throughout the process. If you go back and listen to my podcast from the summer, Jones is one of those guys who I felt should have been high up in the Elite 11 stuff. I thought he was overlooked in that. I thought that he is really only a notch behind a guy like a Justin Fields. He's just not as ready to play early as a Justin Fields, but you're talking about a kid with a really high ceiling and a kid that I like a lot and thought Fisher should have gone after harder early in the process. But they got him on campus. Now, that said, I don't know what to expect here with Emory Jones, and your guess to some degree is as good as mine. But ultimately speaking, again, I kind of expect Emory Jones to wind up at Florida. I don't think he'll wind up at Ohio State either way. I think he'll wind up at Florida or Florida State. And my guess is that he'll wind up at Florida with Dan Mullen. Mullen was recruiting him to Mississippi State to begin with. And then with Mullen going to Florida and Florida being so bad at quarterback that he could potentially come in, he's an early enrollee, he'd be able to compete for that starting job under Mullen, who has no obligation to any of the other quarterbacks on the roster. And I'm sure Mullen made that clear. My suspicion is that he probably winds up at Florida, which is really, you know, it's too bad because they would have upgraded from Matt Corral to him. You know, he's a really good prospect and would be would make Florida a much more difficult team to defend, say, in 2 years. But again, I think Florida State has a chance. Taggart being able to sell him on his fit in Taggart's offense as he's run it in the past, and sell him on, again, there being a chance to compete for a job with a new staff and all that, you never know. So I think there's a possibility, but if I'm handicapping it, I'm gonna tilt that to say 60% towards, maybe 70% towards Florida, which, you know, it's too bad, but that's what I expect. Then there's Bookie Radley Brendan Radley Hiles, who goes by Bookie, a shorter, about 5'8", 5'9", cornerback prospect, also can return some kicks and play some wide receiver, really, really good athlete, kid that wasn't really long enough for Fisher's style of evaluation, but was one of the first offers for Coach Taggart. Taggart was interested in him at Oregon, brought him on board in terms of an offer early on at Florida State. I think Radley Hiles will wind up at Florida State, but from what I understand, he's not anticipating signing early, so don't expect him to sign during the early signing period, but he is an early enrollee. It just gives him a couple extra weeks to feel things out, see who the coordinator is going to be, and then enroll in January instead of locking himself in before he's sure. But I think he's going to wind up at Florida State. I just don't expect him to sign during the early signing period, which is smart for him. He's an early enrollee. There's no reason to sign early. Another early enrollee that is the guy of these four that I think Florida State has the best shot at. And from what I understand, Willie Taggart feels really good about Florida State's chances to land him, is California safety Jaden Woodby, who apparently grew up a Florida State fan, or at least some measure of a Florida State fan in California. Wanted a Florida State offer, but really didn't get interest until Taggart took over, and then he expressed some frustration that he'd never gotten offered by Florida State, and Florida State had him on campus within a week. He's another Ohio State commit. I think, actually, he's unlikely to wind up at Ohio State. He'll probably wind up at Southern Cal or at Florida State. You might tip the balance a little bit towards Southern Cal due to location, but I think there's a real chance that Florida State lands this kid. And this guy would be one of those guys who would be an instant impact player. He would play early and often. Think about how Nasiruddin played this year at Florida State. This guy, his high school film looks a lot like Derwin James did. And so that's another guy that they're going to have. I think there's a real chance that he winds up at Florida State. I'd go something like 30 or 40% chance. That means don't expect him, but don't be surprised if it happens. So, split it, say 40% Southern Cal, 40% or 35% Florida State, and then Ohio State for the remainder would be how I'd split those odds. In any case, just being in the game for any of those four is a lot for Florida State and says a lot about Willie Taggart, where he's been, the work he's been doing on the recruiting trail so far, basically solo to this point as a member of the new staff in that regard. All right, so I'm gonna take a few more minutes and very quickly run through some question and answer here. I'll probably leave off some others for the next episode as well. But first question I want to get to actually involves this recruiting thing, so I'm gonna go ahead and it makes sense to roll that into this podcast. Question is, FSU's Graham and Brewster versus Dante Pimpleton and Telly Lockett. In recruiting, this has to be a loss, right? I need reassurance we're not falling off a cliff. What's your take? Pimpleton has recruited no one. I don't feel good about this. And then the question continues. Rivals in 247 have Graham listed in the top 8 for recruiting and don't even list Pimpleton in the top 10. Don't list Pimpleton in top 100. There's a lot more recruiting pressure in Florida now with Richt, Mullen, Kiffin, Davis, and Strong. And yes, there is a lot more recruiting pressure in Florida right now. But the thing you have to remember is the Rivals in 24/7 rankings have they're basically approximations. So what they're doing is they're looking at they're trying to reconstruct as best as possible who the primary recruiter for a given player is by region or whatever, however the staff divides that up. And then they give that guy credit for whoever that guy actually pulls into the school. What that means is that recruiters at Alabama, Florida State, Florida, Georgia, Ohio State, the coaches at those spots are pretty much automatically going to be ranked higher by virtue of the kinds of players that those schools are going to get. So yeah, Graham is listed in the top 8 for recruiting right now, but Graham is not an elite recruiter. He's a good one, not an elite one. But he did benefit from the fact that he's at Florida State and has access to top 8, top 5 talent. Same thing actually with Brewster. I've said on this podcast previously, Brewster is not nearly as good a recruiter as his reputation was among Florida State fans. Florida State fans loved Brewster because of how he was on Twitter and how he was able to promote himself and promote his image as the guy who landed all these people. But here's the thing. Brewster is I hate to say it this way, but he was always making sure everybody knew that he was involved in whatever. Promoted himself well, but there were a lot of cases. How many cases over the last few years did Florida State really feel that they were going to get a guy and then wind up coming in second at the last minute? A lot of those guys were Brewster guys, and Brewster was always confident, adamant that he was going to get a guy behind the scenes and in terms of how they would do their board behind the scenes, and then not always pull those kids in. Now, he did pull a few guys in. I mean, he's very heavily responsible for Marvin Wilson, for example. But so is Odell Higgins, and Odell Higgins doesn't miss when he focuses on a guy. Right. So Brewster, really good. I'd say borderline elite recruiter. More, again, based in Texas. Actually, that's where Texas A&M, he's going to be a beast at Texas A&M because of his contacts and network there. But not quite as good a recruiter as his reputation among Florida State fans. And again, Graham, a good one. Pimpleton, on the other hand, is pushing on an elite recruiter and is based in Florida. Like his area, he's going to be able to dip into that that Broward Dade area a little bit. He's going to be able to dip into that Central Florida area, especially. He's got years of recruiting the state of Florida and being a really relatable, really, really easily trustable guy on the recruiting trail. Better recruiter by a good bit than Bruce or than Graham, and specifically in the state of Florida where it matters most. Graham, Florida State may lose a little bit in the state of North Carolina where Graham had good contacts and all that, but I think you can recover from that, particularly again if you are elite in the state of Florida, which Pimpleton is. Secondly, Telly Lockett versus Brewster. Again, I mentioned Brewster's a little overrated among Florida State fans. Telly Lockett is a guy that, quite frankly, if I'm building a staff and I want a tight ends coach at Florida State and I just want a recruiter there, I'm going to take Lockett over Brewster. And here's why. Lockett is among the best South Florida recruiters in the game. You're talking about a guy who is a legend in Miami. He walks into any high school in the city of Miami, in Dade or Broward County, anywhere in that South Florida area, and he gets people to listen, people turn and they look, because that's Telly Lockett. You have no idea. It's hard for me to overemphasize how much that matters. This is a guy who's going to be able to walk in and immediately get you on the list, get you under consideration for elite kids in Miami. And where that matters, when you have Rick getting Miami to do what they're doing, when you have Dan Mullen at Florida, things just got harder. Telly Lockett just made things a lot harder for Mark Rick at Miami. Because Telly Lockett is going to be able to get Florida State in the door for any recruit in Miami. And again, Brewster, lots of connections in Houston, lots of connections, you know, in Texas and in certain national connections, yes. But if you're at Florida State, you really want those connections in South Florida. I mean, Lockett is more, a better comparison for Telly Lockett would be James Coley, who was at Florida State before Brewster and out-recruited Brewster. Lockett's more like having James Coley on staff as a recruiter than he is having Brewster on staff. So that's an upgrade for Florida State for both positions in terms of recruiting. And then you take Woody over Lawing, who Lawing was basically, look at Florida State's inability to even get a sniff from some of these top defensive end prospects, top outside linebacker, you know, edge prospects, edge rushers. Over the last cycle, they struggled. Over the last two cycles, they managed to land Josh Kando at the end of the last cycle, but Lawing has you know, he's not been a beast on the recruiting trail and was quite frankly pretty lazy there. Woody's going to be anything but that. And again, another guy who connects in Tampa. You put Woody and recruiting that Tampa Palmetto area, that western. Midwestern Florida area and the coastline down in the Tampa, Sarasota, all that area, the Gulf Coast. You look at what Florida State's going to do there with Woody and Taggart recruiting that area. That hurts Clemson more than anybody else. Clemson and Florida have just owned that area. Florida's owned it, and then the guys at Florida hasn't gotten, Clemson has gotten there. Florida State's really struggled in the Tampa area. With what Florida State just brought on staff with Woody and with Taggart, Clemson's going to have a hard time getting guys out of that area, because the guys that would have gone to Clemson are going to go to Florida State. And some of the guys that would have gone to Florida are going to go to Florida State because of those guys. And again, that puts Florida State all the more in it for a guy like Malcolm Lamar from Armwood. So Florida State just had a major upgrade in terms of recruiting and in what they brought on staff. Next question. Can Taggart maintain a foothold in Georgia? Do you think he should or needs to hire an assistant that's a strong Georgia recruiter, maybe Texas too? I think he can. I think he will hire an assistant that is a strong Georgia recruiter. There's a real chance that he does, actually. Again, among some of the names that I've heard pitched around for various possibilities, there's a real strong possibility that he hires a very strong Georgia recruiter. Very strong Georgia recruiter. And then Texas as well, although I think Texas is going to be less emphasized by this current staff than it began to be by Jimbo Fisher's staff late in the last couple of years with Brewster on that staff and so on. Again, their connections were very much more mining that area, which, hey, that's great for them because now they've got those connections as they're going to Texas A&M. But with them at Texas A&M, with Herman getting situated at Texas, with some of that going there, it's less likely that Florida State's going to be able to dip into Texas anyway. So I think, again, the key here for Florida State is going to be to build more of a fence around the state of Florida and to keep those kids from going who would have been leaving Florida to go to Alabama, to keep those kids who have been going to Clemson, to keep those kids who've been going to Georgia or elsewhere, those kids funneling them into Florida State, Florida kids. And also you keep in mind what that does in terms of culture. Florida kids are different than Texas kids. I'm telling you, the culture in terms of football for both states is different. They're going to get more Florida kids and maybe get, you know, maybe one or two of those Texas kids that they got in the past, they'll substitute with another kid from Florida. And, you know, they'll still go after some elite kids from out there and they'll have a chance, but I think it'll be a little bit less of an emphasis there. I think they will emphasize, though, making sure that they maintain a strong foothold in Georgia and South Carolina and up through ACC territory there in the Carolinas. I think they'll manage that. But like I said, I think there's a real chance that they could hire a very strong Georgia recruiter. All right. Next question. Do I think that the GAs stay at Florida State, either as GAs or promoted? Jeremiah and Tino, and then there are some others as well. I don't know. I think Tino is going to get an opportunity somewhere, probably not, but it's not going to be at Florida State as an on-field role. And I don't think Jeremiah is going to get an on-field role at Florida State either. They could stay in that position, but realistically, I think they're probably going to wind up going somewhere else. And frankly, each of them has earned a chance at one of those 10th assistant spots somewhere. They're probably going to end up winding up leaving Florida State, but again, they could stay. I don't know, but I don't see them getting on-field roles. Okay, got a lot more questions here, but I'm just going to go one more, and that is a quick question for you. What book were you referencing on Saturday's show about the responses in high-pressure situations? I would love to read that book and apply it to my job at the firehouse. Love your show. Thank you. Well, first of all, thank you. And the book is called Deep Survival by Lawrence Gonzalez. I actually just discussed that book in another podcast that I do with someone else where we went through a lot about that podcast or about that book. We, you know, read it and then discussed it. Well worth the read for anyone in a high pressure environment, firefighting, military, sports, anything like that. There's a lot of good stuff in that book. I'll put some information about it in the show notes. And also, if you want to buy it through the link in the show notes, which will definitely help me out as well, because I'll get a small commission from Amazon if you buy it through that. But anyway, yeah, that like I said, that book is Deep Survival by Lawrence Gonzalez. All right, well, that's going to do it for this show for today. I'll come back after some stuff has happened in the early signing period, and I'll do some question and answer. Please forward if you've got any questions at the moment. Send them on to me. You can contact me through the Facebook page, through Twitter, via email, all sorts of different ways to get a hold of me. If you've got any questions, let me know. I'll try to address those on the next podcast. But that'll do it for this one. Once again, this has been the Unconquered Podcast, sponsored by Lewis Marquez of Keller Williams Realty in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm your host, Jason Staples. Thanks for listening.
Thank you all very much and have a great day if you want to.
I made this.